Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, to Ezekiel chapter number 34. In recent weeks, we've been looking at some of the great promises of God to His people in the Scriptures. And today we want to look at the promise of God's restoration. The promise of God's restoration. And we find reference to that great promise in the words of our text today, the opening part of verse 16 of Ezekiel chapter 34. The Lord here is speaking, and He says, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. Yes, one of the great promises of God's Word, which is certainly dear to every believer, every child of God, is that promise of the Lord's restoration to His people, in particular to the Christian who has gone astray in their own personal life. The psalmist David, he knew the reality of that in his own life, for he testified of it in that famous psalm of him, his Psalm 23. When he speaks there of the Lord dealing with him, and he says of the Lord, He restoreth my soul. He knew the restoring touch of God in his life as a believer. And in our text here today in Ezekiel chapter 34 and the verse 16, the Lord again speaks of the same great promise of restoration to his people. When he says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which is broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. In this chapter here before us, the Lord, yes, is speaking to the nation of Israel of old. And as He speaks to them, He was telling how He would restore them again as a nation to their own land after a time of captivity and after a time of scattering. He also, yes, foretells future blessing as well upon them as a nation and as a people. But as well as ancient Israel, these same words have important lessons for the believer in Christ regarding the Lord's restoring power in their lives. In the opening verses of this chapter, Ezekiel here, he tells of God's reproof and God's judgment upon those false shepherds who had neglected God's people in his day. Look at what he says about them. And here the Lord is really speaking of his reproof and judgment upon them through his servant Ezekiel in verse 4 and verse 10 of the chapter. He says, the diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force, with cruelty, have you ruled them. And then in verse 10, the Lord says as such, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at my hand. And there you read of God's reproof and disapproval and judgment upon those false shepherds who had neglected God's flock, who had neglected God's people. And then in verses 11 to 16, our reading from this chapter today, we read here in particular of how the Lord, the true shepherd, deals with his people and deals with his flock. And here we see this great promise of restoration. Look at verse 11 and 12. The Lord says, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, even I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And then down in verse 16, our text, he says, I will seek that which is lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which is broken and will strengthen that which was sick. Here we see this wonderful promise of divine restoration for the Lord's people by the Lord Himself. Here we see how the Lord graciously and tenderly deals with His people, how He deals with them in grace and in mercy. It's very interesting to note that over in the New Testament, the Lord there is described as the great shepherd of His people. He is also described as the chief shepherd of his people, and he is also described as the good shepherd of his people. He is indeed a most faithful shepherd for his flock and for his people. And here in our text today in Ezekiel 34, verse 16, we see how Christ, the good shepherd, deals with his people and restoration. And as we had looked then at this promise of restoration, there are three things I want to set before you today regarding the Lord, the good shepherd, and the restoration of his flock and of his people. Notice first of all with me here that in restoring his people, the Lord searches after them. The Lord searches after them in restoration. And you see that in verse 11 and verse 12 of the chapter, where it says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." And here we see the Lord searching after his people, after his flock. Yes, just as the shepherd would seek after that straying sheep, that sheep that is lost, so the Lord seeks after his own people when they go astray from him, when they wander from the fold. And you know, people, we have this wonderfully illustrated for us in the parable of the lost sheep that Christ speaks of in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. When he talks there about the shepherd looking for the sheep that was lost, he says of the shepherd in that situation, he says, "Doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goeth after that which is lost until he find it?" And that's really a picture of the Lord going after his people when they've gone astray and gone away from the Lord. Why, whenever the disciples forsook the Lord after the Lord's death and crucifixion, and they'd sought to go astray, who was it that sought them out? It was the Lord. The Lord went after them, and he sought them out to bring about their restoration. In fact, he went to the very place where they were as the risen Christ. Turn with me in your Bible over to John's Gospel and to the chapter number 21, the final chapter of John's Gospel. And here you read of the Lord dealing in this chapter in restoring grace with his disciples who had forsaken him at the cross. And look at how it begins, verse 1 of John chapter 21. It says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias." He came to the very place where they were when they had gone astray from the Lord. You know from the chapter how they had gone back to their old job of fishing. But the Lord, he seeks after them here. He seeks them out. And here we see the Lord's restoring grace with his disciples. He calls them back to fellowship with himself. Look at what he says to them in verse number 12. It says, "Jesus saith unto them, come and dine." And he had prepared a meal for them on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He was calling them to fellowship with himself once again. Then he calls them to love with himself again. For look at what he says to Peter in verse number 15. He says, "Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Here he was calling Peter back to that place of love and fellowship with the Lord. And he calls him back to future service with the Lord as well. Look again at the command he gives in particular to Simon Peter. Three times he says to Simon Peter, "Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." And then again at the end of verse number 17, "Feed my sheep." And people, what do we see here? We see the Lord, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the tender shepherd, going after his flock, going after his own, and drawing them back to himself. Yes, when his people go astray, it's the Lord who searches after them. It's the Lord who seeks them out. Dear people of God in our meeting this morning, let me say this, that when you and I wander from the Lord, what does the Lord do? The Lord in grace and the Lord in mercy, he seeks us out. He seeks after us. This is what he does. This is how he deals with us. And he does so to restore us again, to fellowship with himself. He does so to bring us again into the center of His will for our lives, that good and blessed place for us as Christians. He seeks us out, He searches for us to bring us to that place where He can bless us and use us again in His service and in His cause. He says, "Turn, O backsliding children, for I am married unto you." Dear believer, yes, He seeks after you when you go astray. Why? Because there is no divorce with God when we are saved. And no matter how far we may go from the Lord, He will seek us out. He will search us out. You think today of Jonah, the runaway prophet. He went to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh. He thought he could run away from God and from God's work and God's will for his life, but he was wrong. He was to discover there was no getting away from the Lord and the Lord's will and service, and the Lord searches him out. The Lord seeks him out. Oh, believer, yes, you may think that you can run away from God and God's will for your life, but God will still find you. He will still search after you. He will still seek out after you. He says in His Word, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest." Christian, God knows what you're at this very present moment in time. He knows where you're dwelling. He knows all that concerns you. There's no getting away from God for the people of God. Turn with me back to Psalm 139. Look at what the psalmist says there, emphasizing this very fact that for the Christian, there's no getting away from the Lord. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10, he says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Oh, see there, dear Christian, there's no getting away from the Lord when we belong to the Lord. When we're saved by God's grace, born again of the Spirit of God and redeemed by the blood of Christ. Christian, in our meeting this morning, let me say that in searching you out, seeking after the Lord, yes, He speaks to you through His Word to bring you back to the place of restoration. The Bible says, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." And dear people of God, when we do not listen to God's Word, and when we do not listen to the messengers of God's Word to draw us back to the Lord, then the Lord, then He will send affliction to draw us back to Himself as His people. That's how He deals with His own redeemed saints. The psalmist, he testified of that very fact in his own life. And Psalm 119 in the verse number 67, where he says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Affliction, chastening was used to bring him back to the Lord, to the place of restoration. Again, this was how it was with the hymn writer, for they could say of the Lord, "Though he may send some affliction, it will but make me long for home, for in love and not in anger, all his chastenings will come." O child of God, you perhaps who are afar from the Lord today, I urge you to come back to the Lord. Heed His voice. He says, "Return unto me, for I will return unto you." Yes, in restoring His people, the Lord seeks them out. The Lord searches after them. But in the second place, I want you to notice something else here in this great promise. In restoring His people, we can also say that the Lord feeds them. He searches for them. Yes, He seeks them out, but He also feeds them. Look at verse 13 and verse 14. Of Ezekiel chapter 34. Notice what is said there. The Lord says, "I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel." Notice the reference there on a number of occasions to feeding. Talks there about good pasture. Naturally speaks to us of plentifulness. And again, David could testify of that in his own life. In Psalm 23, speaking of the Lord, he says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And you know, whenever the Lord restores His people, He feeds them. He feeds them through His word, His truth. Christ says to His people, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And child of God, if you and I, yes, if we are to know the Lord's restoring touch in our lives, then our souls must be fed with the word of God. We must feed upon the milk of God's word. We must feed our souls upon the strong meat of God's word. Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You know, if God's word is to have an impact upon our lives as God's people, then daily as Christians we must spend time in the word of God. We must read the word of God for ourselves. Dear Christian, if you are too busy to read the word of God in your daily life, you're far, far too busy. We must spend time in the word of God for ourselves, reading it, thinking about it, meditating upon it, praying over it. And we must also faithfully attend the preaching of the word of God. And when God's house is open for public worship, and when with freedom and liberty and health and strength, we should be present with eager hearts to hear the word of God as it is preached to us. You think about the psalmist. Yes, the psalmist was a man who knew God's restoring touch, and the word of God had a very big impact upon his life and upon his heart. Turn with me back to Psalm 119. And I want you to see what he says here regarding the word of God in his life. On a number of occasions, Psalm 119. Look at verse number 9. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. In other words, by heeding God's word, he was kept from sin. Look at verse 24 of the psalm. He says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. In other words, by heeding God's word, he was guided, he was directed in his life. Look at verse 50 of the psalm. He says, this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And there again you see, by cleaving God's word, the psalmist found great comfort and cheer in his time of need. And child of God, yes, if you and I are, if we are to know God's restoring power and grace in our lives, if we are to be kept from sin as God's people, guided aright, if we're to know God's comfort, then we must cleave to the word of God. We must read it, study it for ourselves, attend the preaching of it, and by God's grace seek to live it out in our lives as God's people. Oh, the word of God must have a big place in our life and our hearts as God's people. We must feed upon the word of God. You know, years ago there used to be a radio program on late at night called Back to the Bible. I don't think it's not being broadcast anymore. That was the title of the program, Back to the Bible. You know, if ever there was a day when God's people needed to get back to the Bible, it is today. This day and generation in which we live. Restoring His people, the Lord, yes, He searches for them. He feeds them. Notice one final thought here, that in restoring His people, we can say further that the Lord is one who succors them. He succors His people. Look at verse 16 there of Ezekiel 34. He says, and I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which is driven away, and will bind up that which is broken, and will strengthen that which is sick. And here we see how the Lord succors His people in restoration. It says over in the book of Hebrews, He is able to succor them that are tempted or are tried. And when the Lord succors His people in restoration, He does not cast them off. It says in the book of the Psalms, the Lord will not cast off His people, neither forsake His inheritance. He does not cast off His people, but rather in succoring them, He strengthens them, He revitalizes them spiritually, and he uses them again in his service for his honor and for his glory. You see that very especially in the life of Peter, who had denied the Lord with oaths and cursings, yet the Lord came to him, he restored him, he succored him, he strengthened him, he didn't cast him off. He didn't say, Peter, that's the end of you, the church wants nothing more to do with you. No, he came and he restored him and he reused him. And it says in the book of the Acts of the Apostles regarding the ungodly that now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. God's blessing was upon Peter in a very definite and signal manner. Again, think of Jonah, the runaway prophet. Did God cast him off and say, that's the end of you, Jonah? No, he didn't. He restored him. He succored him. He strengthened him. And it says in Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And God blessed and God used Jonah. Think of Samson. Did God cast off Samson? You read of Samson, even in his bondage, we're told that his locks grew, his strength grew, his spiritual strength was recovered. And we're told that he slew more in his death, even in his life. Why? Because the Lord did not cast off Samson, and God blessed him and used him, even in his final days here upon earth. You see, the Lord will not cast off his people. He will not forsake his inheritance. That is something God cannot do. For God to do that is for God to deny his word. That is something God cannot do. Child of God, yes, the pathway to restoration with God and God using us again for his honor and glory is yes for us to confess and forsake our sins and our waywardness to the Lord and with that confession, seek that fresh cleansing through the blood of Christ and seek fresh grace and strength to live for God and the power of God, in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And God will bless you, believer, and use you again for his honor, for his glory. Turn with me over to the book of Hosea, one of the minor prophets, Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14, if you just move over from Ezekiel, you come to Daniel. And then go on through to the book of Hosea, is the next book after Daniel, and turn to Daniel or Hosea chapter 14, and look at the opening two verses of this chapter. It says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. That's the backslider coming back to the Lord. Look at the Lord's great promise. In verse 4 and verse 5 of the chapter, he says, I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be, he says, as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as the Lebanon. That speaks there of God's blessing. Yes, in restoring us, yes, the Lord can remold us, remake us, refashion us, like the clay in the hand of the potter. He can invigorate us with fresh grace and strength to serve God, to honor God, to live for him in our daily life. It says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency may abound unto every good work. Prayer of the hymn writer was, have thine own way, O Lord. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. O child of God, may this be the prayer of our hearts today as the people of God, that the Lord would have his own way in our hearts and lives and souls, that we would be like clay in the hand of the potter or putty in the hand of God for God to use and remold and remake and refashion for his honor, for his glory. If you're here today and you're still not saved, let me say this, that Christ the Good Shepherd is one who gave his life on the cross as a ransom for sinners, to save sinners, to fit them for heaven. He says, I am the Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, if you are to be saved from your sin, to be with Christ in heaven one day, then now in time you must repent of your sin. Turn to the Lord. Confess your sins to Him. Trust in Him. Trust in His blood to cleanse you from all sin. Trust in Christ to save you by His mighty power. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, if you're not saved today, young or old alike, the Lord invites you to come to Him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, may you heed that word of invitation today. Trust Christ as Savior. And by His grace, by His power, seek to live for Him, to shine for Him, until He comes, until He calls us home to glory. We're going to close our service this morning by singing together the final hymn in our order of service, 482, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and still. We'll keep our seats while we sing as our sister leads us in the organ, please. Indeed, making this hymn the prayer of our heart today is the people of God. Going to close our meeting with a word of prayer. I'll not be going to the door, but if you do need to speak to me after the meeting, I'll be up at the front here. Come and speak to me or give us a ring. If there's pastoral visitation needed, I'd be glad to help you in any way. But if you're not saved today, come to the Lord and trust Him and live for Him, for His honor and for His glory. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee for Christ, that the Good Shepherd, the Tender Shepherd, the shepherd who does not cast off, the shepherd who seeks, who feeds, who succors. We thank Thee for all that we have in Christ as our Redeemer. Lord, help us as Your people to cleave unto Christ in these days, to cleave to Thy Word, to cleave to Thy truth. And Lord, as we've been singing, fill us, Lord, with Thy Holy Spirit, so that Christ might be seen in our lives, in our words, in our actions, in our testimony day by day, that we might have those testimonies known and read of all men that belong to the Lord. For any with us today not saved out of Christ, speak to them. May they choose Christ today and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this week that lies before us. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks. Amen and amen. Just remember as you leave, just take your time and leave pew by pew just from the rear. Thank you. God bless you.